But my Bible's got a little subheading, and it says, Jesus calls his first disciples. And I'm going to read it out. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down my nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. Amen. I've been meditating on this portion of scripture for the last few days, and it's really amazing, you know, the fact that whenever we read the Bible, you get fresh revelation every time you read it. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I've read a same portion of scripture for so many times, and every time I read it, it just hits me with fresh revelation. And that's the amazing thing about the Word of God. The Word of God is never old. The Word of God is always fresh. So in this story, we've got Jesus himself. Jesus is standing by the lake and he's speaking the word. And as he's speaking the word of God, we have this crowd of people flogging around him to listen to the word of God. And as he's doing that, we have this character, Peter, Simon, and his mates just kind of coming back from a full night of fishing. And from this account, we also know that they were fishing all night, but they didn't catch anything. So in a sense, they're very disappointed, and in a sense, they're very discouraged. Mm-hmm. And if we really look into the context of this whole scripture and the context of the time, it is said that people in this time had to pay about 40% of tax. So if they were earning about £100, they'd have to pay about £40 tax. And also, sometimes they'd have to pay more. So in a sense, whenever we see the scriptures, we also see that Simon himself, he was a married man. Okay, the fact that Jesus goes to heal Simon's mother-in-law in the Bible shows that Simon was a married man. So in that sense, he had some sort of responsibility there to look after his wife and also look after the needs of the household. So in a sense, when you put it into that sort of context, it can be seen that Simon has responsibilities. He's got bills to pay. He's got a lot of things, looking from a practical side of things, he's got a lot of things piling up in his head. So him fishing all night and not catching anything, he's so discouraged, so disappointed that he's just like there cleaning the nets. And he's so disappointed. He's like, oh, we didn't catch anything. We've got all this bills to pay. We've got all this tax we need to pay. We haven't caught anything. What are we going to do? Then boom, what happens is Jesus comes up. And Jesus happens to be preaching the word that day in the same place where Simon Peter was. What are the chances of that? So it wasn't the fact that Simon went to Jesus. It was the fact that Jesus came to Simon. And that is the gospel. The Son of God coming down to our level to reach out to us, to to be with us, to teach us, and to help us. That is the gospel. So in this passage, we see Son of God, Jesus himself, coming over to talk to Simon. Simon didn't know anything about Jesus. He had a little bit of teaching of the Messiah. He had a little bit of understanding of the scriptures, of the Torah, but in full extent, he didn't know that Jesus was going to be there. But so it happened that Jesus actually goes to Simon. So when Simon is there, when all these people are there, Jesus, out of all these two boats, goes to the boat of Simon. There are three things I want us to focus on this afternoon, three things to remember. First thing is this: Jesus saw something in Simon which Simon didn't see in himself. Let me say that again. Jesus saw something significant in Simon which Simon didn't see in himself. And church, I'm going to remind us this afternoon that Jesus sees something significant in your life that you don't even see in yourself. Let me say that again. Jesus sees something of significance in your life that you don't even see yourself. So don't limit yourself. So many times we put ourselves in this box limitation and we just label ourselves saying, oh, this is how much I can do. My limitations is so limited and this is it. I won't be able to extend far beyond my little box limitation. This is who I am. This is where I stand. This is my ground. And we sort of limit ourselves on the basis of what might have happened to us in the past. I've spoken to a lot of people and whenever I speak to them, I always get the same thing something has happened to them in the past, and because of the things of the past, it's now crippled them so much so that they are very reluctant in the sense of moving towards the future, moving forward. And I love this quotation of Martin Luther King Jr. He says, if you cannot run, you walk. If you cannot walk, you crawl. But whatever happens, you need to keep moving forward. So in this story, yes, Simon was having a day of disappointment. Yes, Simon had a very disappointed event going on in his life. But the fact that when he sees Jesus and when Jesus says to him, let's go and cast the nets again, what does he do? He does it. Amen. He does it. And that's the beautiful thing about the scripture, that whenever we sort of limit ourselves in this little box, we need to remind ourselves that God is a great big God. We sang this song when we were in Romania, didn't we, Chris? Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. And it's true. Our God, your God, is a great big God. Don't limit yourself. Don't look at your past. Don't dwell on your past and limit yourself today, because God has a great plan in the future for your life. This isn't the end. This is the beginning. Amen?
Amen.
This is the beginning of something great and amazing that God is about to do in your life. And trust me, church, we are on an amazing journey. And God is going to do something amazing in each and every one of our lives, in our nation, and across the world. God is about to do something. I really feel a stirring in my heart. And when I'm looking on social media and when I'm talking to other people on internet, they all are feeling the same stirring in their hearts. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to look like. But this we know, God is about to do something amazing. So when Simon was sat in his boat and when Simon looked at Jesus, Simon didn't know what was going to happen. Simon even didn't know who this man was. But when Jesus approached Simon and when Jesus said to Simon, Simon, this is what we're going to do. Simon did it. And because Simon did it, that was a starting point in his life of something amazing in his journey. And that's all we need to do. When God says something to us, our responsibility is to believe. It's to believe. That's our starting place. That's our starting ground. We need to believe. Church, we need to believe that God is about to do something amazing. Church, we need to believe the word of God. It's not about what people are throwing at us, it's what we receive from the Word. And the Word of God is very firm in its belief that God is about to do something amazing, that God is for us and not against us, and that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Jesus saw something significant in Simon and called him. And today, God sees that significance in your life today. Don't hide from it. Don't run away from it. Don't limit yourself. It's time to raise up that bar. It's time to raise up your hand. It's time to raise that urgency in your heart and run to God, not run away from God. Second thing is this. Peter did not let that event shape him, but rather chose to follow what Jesus said. Okay? Let me say that again. Peter did not let the event shape him, but rather chose to follow what Jesus said. Don't let the events make you. Rather, let the Word of God make you today. And I want to ask you this question. What is shaping your life today? Let me say that again. What is shaping your life today? Are you letting your past events shape your life today? Okay, what I mean by that is, it has happened to me as well. Things have happened to me in the past. Okay, things I said, things that have been said to me and off me. And in a sense, what that does to you is that leaves you with a bitter heart. And when you let that bitter heart mess you up, all of a sudden you have this bitterness all over you, all around you. You cannot run away from it. It becomes part of you. Unforgiveness, okay? Envy, all this sort of stuff. Jealousy, hatred, all this sort of stuff eats you up on the inside. But here's what it is. One thing I learned from all this is this. I was letting all these events make me rather than letting the Word of God make me, if that makes sense. Okay, what I mean by that is you can go through lots of events in your life. I can go through lots of events in my life. But if I give the events of my life responsibility and the authority to make me, it will make me a bitter person. It will make me an unforgiving person. It will make me a person who always runs with a heart full of hate, a heart full of failure. But if I let and allow the Word of God to make me, in spite of whatever might have happened to me yesterday or last month or last year or a lot of years prior to this, okay, it's not going to change me or it's not going to do anything to me because I'm giving the Word of God 100% control over my life. Yeah. I'm not letting my past determine me. I'm not letting the words of others shape me. I'm not letting the social media change me. I'm not letting the competition get to me. I'm not letting what I'm seeing on the social media drive me to do what I don't feel God wants me to do or what God is calling me to do. And in your case, in our case, church, it's time for us to really look deep into this and ask ourselves this very deep question. What is shaping my life today? Is it the news that's shaping my life today and filling my heart with loads of fear? Or is it the Word of God that's filling my heart with faith? Amen.
Amen.
And the third thing is this. Peter did not wait for tomorrow to follow Jesus. Okay? He followed him as soon as he was called. Now that's powerful. Don't wait for tomorrow. Whatever you can do today, do it today. Amen.
Amen.
Don't be a tomorrow person. If you have a call of God in your life, follow it today. If you feel challenged to forgive someone, try forgiving them today. If you feel compelled to pray for someone, pray for them today. Don't pray for them tomorrow. Don't wait till tomorrow. If you feel like God's put something in your heart, either to phone someone and ask them for forgiveness, or to forgive someone, or to do something that you think, oh, I don't think I'll be able to do it. Whatever God has challenged you to do it, it's your time to do it today.
Yeah.
Because when Simon was called, he did not wait for tomorrow. He didn't say, God, oh, let me just go and fix this and fix that. All Jesus says to Simon is, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And his response is, he follows him. He does not know like what he's following or what's going to happen to him tomorrow, but he follows him. That simple act of obedience. Because the scripture reminds us that obedience is better than sacrifice. Sacrifice, whatever you sacrifice, I'm not saying it's meaningless. Yes, it's of meaning. You might have sacrificed a lot of things for the kingdom, but the real question we need to ask ourselves is, in them sacrifices, were we obedient to the voice of God? In them sacrifices, were we obedient to the call of God? In them sacrifices, were we obedient to what Jesus wanted us to do? Because that's a very powerful and a very challenging question. So as I was really reflecting on all these things, God challenged me on something. He said, don't be a later person. We love this word later, don't we? Oh, when are you going to do it? I'll do it later. I'm tired. Oh, when are you going to pray? I'm going to pray later. I'm a bit tired right now. Oh, have you read your Bible? Oh, I'm going to read it later. I'm a bit tired right now. I've just come from work and my body's aching. I just need a bit of rest. But what God said to me was, if you can discipline your life, you have the power to change that later into now. Amen? We can change that later into now. We can be so complacent with how church works and how church functions that whatever we do, we can say, oh, I'll do it later. I can do this later. But God wants us to act now. God wants us to act today. And that commission to Peter, that response needed there and then. So he acted there and then. He did not say, I'm going to do this later, but he said, I'm going to follow Jesus now, today, at this very moment. Don't be a later person. Let us take up to this challenge and be a now person. Because God is a now God. You need that miracle, he's a now God. He's here. You need that refreshing of the Holy Spirit, he's here now. You need that touch from the Holy Spirit. He is here now. And if God's challenging you about something, I don't know how many times you might have said later. Certainly for me, I've said later quite a lot to God. Oh God, I'm a bit tired right now. I'll do it later. Oh God, I'm a bit this. I'm a bit that. I'll do it later. And I really feel challenged to change my later into now. So whenever I feel that urge in my heart, whenever I feel that stirring in my heart to pray for someone, I don't say later anymore. I pray for them there and then. Doesn't matter if I'm in my car. Doesn't matter if I'm walking somewhere. Doesn't matter where I am. I'm praying. Yeah. So if I feel that stirring in my heart to pick up the word of God, doesn't matter if I'm tired. Doesn't matter if I'm really, really stressed out. I pick up my word of God because that is my response. Amen.
Amen.
Because that is my obedience to the stirring in my heart. I'm not waiting for any motivation. I'm not waiting for anything, because we can all wait for motivation and that motivation might never come. And it is all about discipline. And at this time, we need to discipline ourselves. We all need to discipline ourselves. And there is a real stirring in the church right now. Trust me, church, we are living in a very uncertain times, but very exciting times. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who is holding it. We don't know what's going to happen to us tomorrow, but we know the end of this, God wins and we win. And he's still on his throne. And if God is still in his throne, then for each and every one of us, we have hope. We have hope. We have a great abundant life. And it's not about the external life, it's about the internal life. I was watching The Chosen yesterday. I don't know if you guys seen any of the episodes, but I'd highly recommend it. You can go onto YouTube and you can type The Chosen. It's basically the story of Jesus, but it's been breaking down into lots of different episodes. And the way they've done it is just great. It's just wonderful how they portrayed Matthew. We know from the scriptures that Matthew was a very brainy guy. So he was good with his genealogies. He was good in his writings. And it's amazing that what he was good at, God used the very thing. So he was good at writings. He was good at keeping accounts because he was a tax collector. And amongst all the gospels, Matthew is the only gospel that starts with the genealogy, because Matthew was good at it. God used what was in him already. God used the gifts that was given to him. So in the same sense, for each and every one of us, God wants us to sharpen our gifts. What has God gifted you today? How are you sharpening your gift today? Maybe God's challenging you to do something, and maybe you still haven't started it yet. And perhaps I want to challenge each and every one of us. Maybe this is the perfect time for each and every one of us to start that project which God has laid in our hearts. Our limited minds will tell us that we're not good enough for this. Our limited minds will challenge us and certainly put a lot of things in our hearts and bring about fear in us. But whatever God has been talking to each and every one of us about, maybe it's time for us to act. Maybe it's time for us to do something about it.
Yeah.
For me, as I was really seeking God, I really felt God challenged me to kind of start reading books again and start focusing more on the Word of God. Because I'm going to be honest with you guys, I was beginning to read my Word. I was doing all of that stuff, but it was becoming more of a chore. I was just doing it to tick the box. Have I done my daily reading? Yes, I've done my daily reading. Tick the box. But in a sense, I was losing that sense of intimacy with God, if you know what I'm trying to say. That sense of intimacy where I'm coming before God and I'm saying to God, God, I'm here before you. I just want to receive. God, I'm here with you because I want to spend time with you. Not just tick the box and just leave. No, but it was a case of, God, I want to spend time with you. I want that fresh refilling of the Holy Spirit. I want that fresh stirring of the Holy Spirit. I want that fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. God, revive me again. God, revive me again. Do something, God. I need that fresh touch from heaven. And certainly when I started changing my later into now, and I said to God, God, I'm not leaving until you refresh me. God, I'm not leaving until you speak to me. There has been a big change. I can feel it. And sometimes we kind of like don't realize with all the things that we do, the importance of filling our spiritual tanks. And we can only give out what we have. We cannot give from an empty tank. So starting this week, I've started picking up my books, and I'm really loving my devotions with God. I'm really loving my study time of the Word of God, and it's been great. It's just like, I feel like it's reignited my passion again. I've always loved the Word of God, but sometimes we become so familiar with the language, we become so familiar with the ways of reading the Word of God, that it only becomes like we're reading a book. But the Word of God is more than a book. It's living scriptures, it's living Word of God. And when we listen to the Word of God, when we read the Word of God, my goodness, it changes us. It changes us powerfully. And those are the three things I want to leave us with this afternoon. The first thing I said earlier on, just to recap it, then we'll bring it to close. Three things for us to remember. In the story of Peter, Simon, Jesus saw something in Simon Peter which he did not see in himself. Jesus saw something significant in Simon which he did not see in himself. And today, Jesus sees that significance in you, and Jesus wants to bring it out to surface so that he can show you what you are capable of, so that he can show you what he has called you to do. Because there is this great call of God in your life that needs to be brought out to surface. Jesus has placed it in you. He sees it, and he wants you to see it too. Amen. Mm-hmm. Second thing is, Peter did not let the events shape him, but he chose to follow what Jesus said. Don't let the events shape you. Don't let what has happened to you in the past shape you, but rather let the Word of God make you, shape you, transform you, revive you, refresh you, renew you today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And the third thing is, Simon Peter did not wait for tomorrow to follow Jesus. He followed him as soon as he heard his call. He followed him as soon as he heard his call. Don't wait for tomorrow. Whatever can be done today, do it today. Amen.
Amen.
If God has placed that urgency, that stirring in your heart to pray for someone, to do a long night prayer session or whatever it is, do it. Do it. Because God is a God of now. God is a God of today. And He wants us to be people of today, people of now as well. Don't be a later person. Be a now person.
Amen.
And church, it's just like God is a God of now. And now is perfect time for us to seek His face. It's perfect time for us to seek His word. It's perfect time for us to devote ourselves in prayer to God. It's perfect time for us to write worship songs. If God's given you worship songs, write it. If God's given you poems, write it. Whatever God places within your heart, write it. And you can post it in that group chat and you can encourage each and every one of us in the name of Jesus. But whatever giftings God has placed within you and He wants to nurture it, do it today. Amen.
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 God uses everything. In the scriptures, whenever we see Luther characters, whatever giftings, whatever talents they had, God used it and God nurtured it. And so much so, like, they were able to use it to advance the kingdom of God. Amen. And church, I want to encourage each and every one of us to do the same. Because it's exciting times we're living in. Although there's a lot of uncertainties in the air, but at the same time, it's just like we don't know what's happening. So there's this excitement within each and every one of us that what is God doing? What is God about to do? I don't know what He's about to do, but He's certainly about to do something amazing in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. That's it from me today. I pray that this message will continue to help us in all that we do in Jesus' name. Amen.